time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy Monday, as Jill would say. Surely she's back from Colorado by now. But anyway, currently we got temperatures around Hollis, 98. Hottest spot in Oklahoma right now is Granville at 101. Eric, you're 96. Cheyenne, home of the secret weapons, 90 degrees. 92 degrees at Arnett, and that's also home of the world-famous Lori Campbell. 92 at Woodward, 96 at Cherokee, 93 at Hinton. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, much of the same thing. 96 at Canadian, 98 at Dozer, and Odell, you're 100 degrees. Got lots to do on the show today, and it's Monday. It's crazy. I am going to go over what I went to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association convention this weekend in Norman. I had a wonderful time, met a lot of great folks, and I got to see some people that I knew. And so, anyway, they had a great vendor display going on with vendors in there, booths, the whole nine yards. It was good. Oklahoma State University, I think, had three or four of them in there. OYE was in there. I got to see Bray Haven. And Oklahoma Wheat Commission had a booth set up in there. I'm not going to be able to name all these, but anyway, it was a great time. Saturday morning probably was my favorite. Dr. Daryl Peel from Oklahoma State University was in there talking about cattle, and he did a presentation on numbers, and of course everybody knows that that's his game, is the numbers, and he's really good at it. I wrote some notes down from listening to him, and one of the things that caught my attention really well, and he didn't put a time frame on it to speak of, but he said that he thinks a 500-pound steer in Oklahoma could go for $4 per pound, and an 800-pound steer could go for $3 a pound. Fed cattle, he added, was already pretty close to $2 anyway, and $2.50 is not out of the question. And timing, like I said, he wasn't completely sure about that, but he feels like these numbers and these prices are going to go on through 24 and maybe even into 2025. And one of the things, the reason is that one of the main things he said was heifers on retention, the numbers aren't there. There's nothing showing that there's any heifers being retained. And so, anyway, and he highly recommends that when these prices get here, if your cattle producers got something, you better sell it. So, and I'm on board with that. I'll promise you, if the price, even if the price is $3.25, $3.50, $3.75, $4, it don't matter. These things, they're gone. They're out of here. He said the reports are telling us basically we're getting smaller on numbers. And some of these numbers that I took a screenshot of some of the numbers he was showing. And this is one of the things. The U.S. Cattle inventory is of July 1st. All cattle and calves in 2020, there was basically 10 million, a little over 10 million head in inventory. Now, 2023, we're at 9.5 million in that range, somewhere in there. Beef cows, there was 3.2 million in 2020. Now there's 2.9 million. Dairy cows seemed to be the only thing that was pretty stable. And beef replacements, 4.4 million in 2020, and now we have 4.505 So anyway, just right at four million. So we're down almost a half a million head. Feeder supply, 3.68 million in 2020. 23, we're at 3.4 million. Don't sound like much, but that's a lot. Now here's cattle on feed. In 2020, we was at, let's see if I get this right, 1.36 million, and we're at 1.31 million, and we've been steadily going down since 2020. Calf crop, let's see, we got here 3.5 million in 2020, and 23 we got 3.3 million. So anyway, the numbers are low and the heifer replacements are not there. So anyway, that's just heifer numbers have to change, he said. I was sitting here, I'm trying to read my notes, I can't even read my own writing. Heifer numbers have got are going to change at some point, he said. But he's surprised, he wouldn't be surprised if these numbers drop in the he wouldn't have been surprised if the numbers had dropped in the recent inventory report, but they did not. He said basically we're getting smaller on numbers and numbers are getting tighter pretty much across the board. And so if you look at all the cattle on feed reports for the last 4 or 5 years, and then he did a lot of comparisons with numbers from 2014-15 from the drought and all that, and the prices that we're seeing now is blows those numbers out of the water. And that was probably 15 was probably one of the better years in the cattle industry. So it looks like basically what he's narrowing down to, we might have at least another year, if not 2 years, of what's going on. So that's good. So anyway, we'll see. We got to get our heifer retention back to normal, or things, you know, get out way out of whack. Anyway, but Dr. Peel is going to be on the show tomorrow with me for the first two segments. So we'll go over some more of that, and he can explain it entirely. Because I had some questions to add on to that. What's these higher beef prices, if they do happen, what's it going to do to the consumers? What's it going to do at the grocery store? What's it going to do to these guys that are feeding cattle right now and selling them to consumers out here like I do, Jimmy Taylor, Monty Tucker, Ty Ford, all those guys? How do we you know, what's going to happen? Because at some point, you know, 500 pound steers worth way more than what a 1500 pound steer getting butchered is. So, you know, got to look at all that. Lots of things to discuss tomorrow with Dr. Peel, so I'm excited. And I want to thank the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association for putting on such a wonderful convention. A lot of good information was put out there, and I got to see my cousin Mike Wilson from Leedy. Hadn't seen him in a long time. Last time I seen him on was a blacktop way out west of Leedy when I was hauling some pipes out there to a friend of mine, Skinny Craig, and I seen him on the road. But anyway, got to see him, and he was running with quite a crew, Mike Schweitzer and Jimmy Emmons. So I got to talk to Jimmy for a little bit on what's going on with his new new job and all kinds of things. Anyway, got to see lots of good folks there. So anyway, all right, well, let's see what the chaos is in the grain markets, because it's crazy. First, let's see what happened overnight so we can get into what's going on today. Grains and soybean futures surged in overnight trading amid unfavorable weather in U.S. growing areas and on elevated concerns about the war between Russia and Ukraine. Temperatures are expected to reach triple digits in much of the central Corn Belt each day this week, according to data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Weather Prediction Center. The hottest temperatures are forecast in much of Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas, where triple digits are expected. While parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota, Illinois, and Indiana all will see at least a decent chance of rain in the next 24 hours, the odds of precipitation in much of Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Western Missouri, Oklahoma are pretty slim right now for the week. Russian forces also continue to pound parts of Ukraine, including damaging a historic cathedral in the city of Odessa. Bombs have taken out critical export infrastructure and destroyed grain supplies in the port city of Moscow since Moscow exited the Black Sea Grain Initiative last week. Corn futures for December delivery jumped 24 cents to 560 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for September delivery surged 40 cents to 737 and a half a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 36 and three quarter to $8.97 a bushel. Soybeans for November delivery were up 18 and a half cents to 1420 and a quarter a bushel. Soybean or soy meal gained 360 to 412.10 short ton, while soy oil rose 1.52 cents to 64.32 cents a pound. Speculators held a net long net 94,970 soybean future contracts. That's up from 84,000 a week earlier. That's the largest such position in 3 weeks. Money managers lowered their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn to 46,150 future contracts, and that's down from 56,000 the week before. So on wheat, hedge funds and other large investors took a less bullish stance in hard red winter wheat futures, reducing their net longs to 13,000 contracts, and that's down from 15,000 a week earlier, and that's the smallest sus position in 3 weeks. Weather in our farm belt: severe thunderstorm warnings are in effect this morning for parts of eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, northeastern Kansas, and northwestern Missouri, according to the National Weather Service. And that's about it. Just get ready for some hot weather this week. It's going to be muggy, it's going to be hot, and got it going on. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour all hour long. I'll have more on OCA coming up later on the show, so let's take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll get you up to snuff on the current markets. Cattle is down a little bit today, but not a lot, not enough to even sneeze at. Got that going on. I just got so many things to go over today, it's not even funny. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had a incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind him. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of
it. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hypro. For Hypro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's go with Lipscomb, Oklahoma, or Texas. Lipscomb, Texas for your Texas Panhandle weather update. Currently right there, it is 94 degrees. Heat index is 95. Humidity is 36%. Dew point 63. The winds are out of the southwest at 16 miles an hour with wind gust up to 20. Peak wind gust so far today, 32 miles an hour. So far, month to date, precipitation 7.93 inches. 8-inch soil temperature there is 80 degrees. There you have it. All right, let's get caught up on the markets. Let me update them because they are changing by the minute. Yeah, crazy. Corn, September. 560 up 33 today. December 568 up 32. Soybeans for August 1528 up 27. September 1458. Soybeans for November 1425. Soybean meal for August 446.50 up 370. September 429.80 up 350 and 413.50 for October. Soybean oil. August 72.61 up almost 3.5 cents today. September 68.93. Check this out. Hard red winter wheat. September 9.20 up 59. December 9.25 up 58. Oats for September 4.53 up 14. December 4.71 up 16. Cotton, not so much going on there. October is 85 cents and December 84. Okay, and I got more on cotton coming up in the next segment. Live cattle for August 179.32, October 180.102, December 184.77, February 188.75. Feeder cattle for August 243.70, September 247.10. They're down a couple bucks there, a little over $2. Lean hogs for August 135.82.87 for October and 75.90 for that. Oil is up $1.89 to 78.96 for West Texas Intermediate, and natural gas is down a little bit for August at 268. And so anyway, Japanese yen's up, so is the British pound. Speaking of the British, did you hear them guys yelling yesterday, all their craziness at the American that won the Open yesterday? Anyway, it's crazy. That's all right. I wonder if them Britons remember George Washington. Anyway, we'll move on from that. Okay, let's see here. Text line wide open at 580-225. 9697. Got any comments? Got anything you want me to pass along today? It's great. We are live on 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward, 96.5 KECO here in Elk City. You can always find us on the Paragon app. And all the information on the Today in Ag show is also in the Penny News. And if you've missed any of the shows or part of a show, if you had to go do something, you can always go to KECOFM.com. Hit the tab on the on-air shows, go to Today in Ag, and every show that I've ever done in the last 2 years, there's there. They've got titles on them, and so you can find the show that you're wanting to hear about. All right, I thought this was pretty interesting. From Machinery Pete, combines and grain carts are in high demand. How about that? While the drought of 23 is straining crop conditions still, there hasn't been any drought concerns when it comes to auction prices on used farm equipment, including most types of harvest equipment. Take the King's 1051, if I hope I'm saying that right, King's 1051 grain cart, for example. Prior to this year, the record auction price on the model was $67,500, which occurred in Indiana in an auction back in October of 2020. That record was surpassed in an April 15th auction in Mansfield, Ohio, when that 1051 grain cart sold for $76,000. Just 2 weeks later, a 2017 model on track sold for $77,500 at an auction in DePere, Wisconsin. Of course, a lack of both new carts has been driving force behind rising used values. And according to Machine Repeat, his nearly 34 years of tracking the used farm equipment market, I've never seen dealer used inventory so tight. Unprecedented times produce unprecedented auction prices. So on some of these grain carts here, there was a Brent 1596 sold in 2019 for $108,000 in Nebraska. That was a 2019 model, and that was sold just a few months ago. And also in April, there was a Brent V1300 2021 model, brought $93,500 in Hiawatha, Kansas. A 2015 model 1196 in March sold for $90,500 in Iowa. And then there was a 1594 model that was 14 years old, a 2009 model, brought $80,000. How about that? So on the combine front, used inventories on dealer lots around the country have been increasing this year, but from historical low levels a year ago, we're beginning to see some attractive offers from dealers on late model units. Opposite of what you might think, pre-harvest has actually proved to be a really good time to buy. That means to be this, that looks to be the same again this year. Our Machine Repeat auction prices are showing continued strong buyer demand for older combines in good conditions. Case in point, the John Deere 9770 STS model, manufactured from 2007 to 2011, the average auction price on the John Deere 9770s has increased 4.5% so far this year and is up 14.5% versus where it was 3 years ago in 2020. Those rising average auction prices on 10-plus-year-old combines are something I've never seen, he said. So note how the average auction price has increased each of the past 3 years, he said. The surge in buyer demand is evident with sales prices such as $151,000 for a 2011 model John Deere 9770 STS with 2,250 engine hours on it, June 27th, 23, on an online farm auction in Minnesota. So it's just another hot selling used combine was a 2011 Case i8 7088 with 1,677 engine hours on it. It sold for $137,000 back in March in Illinois. So here's some average prices on a John Deere 9770 STS combines. This year, the average price, $85,110. The highest, $200,000. The lowest combine sold in that model, $40,000. Compared to last year, $81,420. Highest, $168,000. $43,750 was the lowest. So let's go back 10 years to 2013. Average price was $143,567. Highest price was $270,000. And the lowest was $99,000. Of course, that's when it was only a 10-year-old machine. Now it's a 20-year-old machine. So anyway, crazy on the combines and grain cart. So there you have it. Well, let's take an OCA break. When we come back, I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma Long Ranger forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
They say that Jimmy Clark can watch the show 60 minutes in 20 minutes. Good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 14th. 1,315 head were sold. Three head of steers at 362 brought 318. Four at 509 brought 274. Seven at 514 brought 282. 11 at 567 brought 276. Five at 585 brought 270. Three at 772 brought 214. Three at 872 brought 208. 12 head of heifers at 265 brought 286. 17 at 475 brought 245. Five at 529 brought 238. Six at 636 brought 225. 12 at 653 brought 232.50. Five at 711 brought 223. 20 at 739 brought 221. Butcher cows were 80 to 121.50. Butcher bulls brought 90 to 136. Bred cows were 950 to 2200. Pairs brought 1325 to 2800. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All All right, welcome back from that OCA break. I hit a button, things started moving here. Amron, got her. I got her under control. Screen has quit moving. I picked Beaver, Oklahoma for your Northwestern Oklahoma and Oklahoma Panhandle and Texas Panhandle forecast. Currently at Beaver's 94 degrees, feels like 97. Heat risk is low. No heat advisory out right now. Dew point 66, humidity's 40%. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. Southwest wind at 14 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:56. Today, 104. Tomorrow, 104. Wednesday, 102. Thursday, 102. Friday, get the hoodies out. 98 degrees. Hot forecast. Looks like we're going to have some steady wind. Nothing crazy, but steady wind all week long in northwestern Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. For $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week and a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time for you to represent you and help protect your way of life out on the ranch and the farm. And believe me, what a wonderful set of people they have working for them at convention. It was great. That's all I can tell you about it. So I got a question for you guys on the text line. See if anybody's awake out there today. So with the cattle prices steadily kind of going up as they are, and beef is high and stuff like that, what do you think yourself will happen to the beef market, mainly the meat at the grocery store? Is it going to change your mind? Are you a true beef eater? Are you on a budget? Are you going to have to kind of switch over towards pork and chicken? What's your thoughts on that? So as the cattle market goes up, so does the consumer prices at the grocery store. So anyway, just curious what people's thoughts are on that. You going to stick with beef? Are you going to ease over a little bit here and there? Because it's expensive to eat out now. Has been for the last couple of years. I mean, you don't even go to the places like Sonic, McDonald's, and stuff like that. The $1 cheeseburgers, that's gone. it's $10 a person to eat out now. So with prices going up on everything, it just seems like there's going to be no ending. Are you going to stay at home and eat more? Are you going to still keep going out? What's you going to do? What's your thoughts on that? I'd appreciate your thoughts on that. All right, let's check out what's happening with the cotton. Let me get over here to it, and let's see here. This is from the National Cotton Council. Said the latest thing on the waters of the United States, WOTUS as we call it, rule moved from the EPA to the Office of Management and Budget for its review prior to publication. This action means that the EPA has finished its compliance with the latest Supreme Court decision by removing the significant nexus test from the WOTUS that was done earlier this year. So we'll see how that goes. I'll keep you up to date on that. You know I will. Let's see what else going on in the cotton world. Climate smart application encouraged. U.S. cotton producers can apply through September 1st, and that's coming up pretty quick, for the Climate Smart Cotton Program, a five-year project led by the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. So you got until time for there. The program goals are to provide technical and financial assistance to U.S. cotton producers, advance adoption of CSA practices on 1.2 million U.S. cotton acres, produce 4.2 million bales of climate smart cotton over the next 5 years, enrolled 1,650 U.S. cotton producers, including 330 producers from historically underserved communities, reduced CO2 emissions by 1.14 metric tons. I'm not even going to go there, so we'll move on. And then, let's see, net export sales for the week ending on July 13th was 74,100 bales. This brings the total of 22-23 sales to 4.7 million bales. Total sales at the same point in 21-22 marking year were about 16.7 million bales. Total new crop for 23-24 sales are already at 2.5 million. Shipments for the week were 242,600 bales, bringing the total exports to date to 11.8 million bales compared to 13.4 million last year. And, but in the 21-22 marketing year. With less than 1 month remaining in the marketing year, weekly shipments must average 426,000 bales to reach the prediction of the United States Department of Agriculture of 12.9 million. So, anyway, I don't think that's going to happen there. So, there's your cotton update for the week, unless something crazy goes on. Let's see here. The prediction right now is the farm bill will come down to the wire. The 23 farm bill is coming down to the wire, and according to the June Ag Economist, the majority of the ag economists surveyed say it's unlikely the bill will be written before the current legislation expires in September 30th. However, some think it could be done by the end of the year. There is a strong desire among leadership to get a farm bill done on time. While language is being drafted, some ag leaders say delivering a bill before an expiration may be tough, with the Ag Committee still actively holding hearings. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Todd Wilkinson, who was in Oklahoma City at Norman this weekend, he was at the OCA convention. You know, frankly, I would have to tell you I'm not very optimistic they're going to get the farm bill done, but I think it's better to get it done right rather than missing out on some of the things. There is consensus on priorities among lawmakers and farm groups, such as preserving crop insurance, but also enhancing it and ARC and the PLC programs in the light of inflation and record production costs for the 2023 crop. John Newton, chief economist with the Senate Ag Committee, says, "We've heard from growers across the country that we need to modernize and update the risk management tools that they have, update the Title I programs, the information they were using for those reference prices in Title I, also and also tools available to deal with the risks that they face. That will require higher prices, so there is a call to increase the baseline, plus throw in an admin priorities like nutrition and climate smart ag programs. The challenge is where to find the additional dollars." I think they've been spending quite a bit on the climate smart ag programs from what I've seen in the last couple of years. Sam Kiefer, vice president for public policy with American Farm Bureau Federation, says Senate has come out and said that there will be no more money. That's Senate Stabenow. And the chairman, Thompson, has not yet made that concession as he continues to work with the leadership in the House to see if they can find additional funding for an effective farm bill. And Chairman Thompson's number one priority is not just to get a farm bill done, but to get one with an effective policies in it. There you go. Livestock producers also want dollars for foreign animal disease prevention, disaster preparedness, and traceability. However, Wilkerson says they're also playing defense. From the beef side, our big deal is do no harm. So we'd rather have them not, which brings into the farm bill and kind of fashion with things that all of a sudden causes problems. So an extension may be needed, bringing the risk the Farm Bill will get embroiled into politics in a presidential election year. Imagine that. I wonder if they do that on purpose. Farm Bill coming up on election year. I wonder if they do that on purpose. That just, I don't know. It's interesting to see what's going on. Well, let's see. All right, here we go. Ooh, we got all kinds of things going on. I will absolutely continue to eat beef, but I raise my own so I don't get it at the store. Going to have to shop at the Dollar Tree to get some meat, so some can get some meat. I don't know if any of those Dollar Trees are Dollar Generals that have meat in them. I've never been in one that was going to. I'm just going to keep taking them to the butcher. Not going to give up my beef, but I'll probably eat a few more deer. Yeah, that's true. We can always go. We got plenty of deer. There's no reason not to have some food in there. So anyway, well, let's take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. If you're quick enough during break, I'll give you your choices, and the winner takes all. Are you guys ready? Let me get back to this. Come on, hurry up. Here's the deal. So you guys pick. You get to pick the town today. So you only got so many choices with a mezzanine center. And Vincent is not one of them. But if you want me to talk about Vincent, I'll split it between Mangum and Hollis. Hollis, Eric, Elk City, Mangum, Altus, Tipton, Granfield, Walters, Medicine Park, and Hobart, and Fort Cobb. You guys text in which one you want to hear the forecast for the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And that's the one I'll see. I'll let you guys choose today. 225-9697. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Brian Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Financial planning means different things to different people. Sorting out all of the options and choices can be extremely overwhelming. How much monthly income will you need to sustain your lifestyle for as long as you live? What will retirement look like for you? Will you run out of money before you run out of life? Will your income in retirement be fully taxed or tax-free? Do you even know that you have a choice? Are you maximizing your 401k or retirement contributions? Most people don't even know their options or whether they're maximizing them or not. We've all heard the old saying when it comes to vehicles and maintenance, pay me now or pay me later. That same saying even applies to financial planning. There are so many puzzle pieces to financial planning. This is Brian Baca with Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton. We've been helping people with these puzzle pieces for the past 29 years. Let us show you what financial planning looks like from an independent point of view. Give us a call for a complimentary appointment, 323-6800, or visit our website, retirewithbaca.com.
Doug Gray Auto Group in Elk City and Sayre would like to thank everyone for making us number one. For the best deals on a new or pre-owned Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Ram, Jeep, Dodge, or Chrysler, nobody treats you better than Doug Gray. With convenient locations in Elk City and Sayre, for sales, parts, and award-winning service, we make it easy. Thanks again, and visit us online at DougGrayAutoGroup.com.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners,
This is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
XIT Auctions will be selling a good farm equipment auction Saturday, August the 5th, just east of Altus, Oklahoma. Trucks, tractors, trailers, a nice combine, and much more. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440. That's Saturday, August the 5th, 7 miles east and 3 miles north of Altus, Oklahoma. Check all the details out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Wow, I got quite a bit of replies on the text message on who to do. Well, I guess Eric is going to get it. I have Mango, I got Meadows Park, I got Tipton. Nobody picked Hollis, and I don't know why. It's one of my favorite towns. But we'll go with Eric because they had three votes, and Austin and Jill Matter picked it. How about that? They are back, so they must be over there getting caught up on chores like baling and hauling hay and stuff. Who knows? All right. So we'll go with Eric. Let me get over here and get it on with Eric. And there we go. Come on, baby. Acts like it's on dial-up. There we go. We got her now. Currently at Eric, Oklahoma, it's 99 degrees. Feels like 100. Dew point 60. Humidity's 28. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 12 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 17. Sunset 8:50, heat advisory till 8 o'clock, July 25th. That's tomorrow evening. 102 today, 104 tomorrow, 103 Wednesday, 102 Thursday, 100 degrees Friday, and no rain in the forecast. So there we have it. Anyway, I got a fun little, where am I at? Okay, let's talk about land prices. I meant to do this a couple weeks ago. And it popped back up, so I'm going to do it. High-quality farmland is still inching up in prices across 18 states. The number one question farmers are asking today is whether land values have hit the top of their long multi-year run of growth, or are they going to keep going up? That depends, he says, on the region where the farmer is located. In general, he sees a slowdown price increases across the country, but no lower prices for high quality farmland. When we compare not just our company data, but also data from the Federal Reserve surveys, we are definitely seeing some settling de-escalation, says Skag, Farmers National Company Senior Vice President of Real Estate Operations. Along with that, he says there are few high quality parcels of land coming to the marketplace. So let's check out some average land prices of these 18 states. I'm just going to go through a few of them. Right now, Iowa in 2021 average acre price was $11,900. Today it's $15,400. Another one that caught my attention was Illinois in 2021, $12,300. 2 years later, $16,000. In Kansas, just a slow increase, $4,400 in 21. $5,800 is the average price of farmland today. Let's check out Texas. $3,700, $4,800 today. South Dakota is the one that caught me off guard. $8,700 an acre up there. $12,100 is today's prices. Oklahoma. In 2021, average land per acre price was $2,500. It's $3,300 today. Let me see. Nebraska, $12,000 today. It's almost up 4,000 from 2021. In Missouri, though, that's a bargain. You can go buy you some land down by one of the big lakes for a whopping $7,500 an acre. Probably ain't going to get it around the lake for that, but that's what average farmland in Missouri is going for at $7,500 an acre. And so increases in land values are now in single digits instead of double digits, as reflected in the chart that I just read off to you. What we're seeing is when high quality land is offered to the market, there's no shortage of demand for that land. The latest Rural Main Street Index from Clinton University is less positive. Bankers surveyed estimate farmlands in their area rose 4.3% over the past year, but the momentum stops right there. The same bankers are forecasting 0% growth in farmland prices over the next 12 years. Gentleman up there in Iowa who's a land appraiser says he started to see a noticeable shift in the land values and pricing a couple months ago in April. The lower quality land is getting hit the hardest. In April, May, we are starting to see some softening on lower quality farms. And as a matter of fact, at auction, we're seeing an uptick in no sales, and it's all low quality farms. He's also even forecasting a 10% correction in land values over the next 12 years with current economics at play. So there you go. Looking at it through the fall, he said the FNC currently has 107 listings with 30 some of them scheduled to go to auction between now and the first part of September. He also anticipates high quality land will continue to see strong interest through the end of the year. What drives that continued interest, he says, is opportunity. People believe in with farmland. There's opportunity for people to purchase a valuable asset that has a track record of appreciation over a long period of time. Then there's the opportunity for those individuals who have owned land for a long period of time to decide it's now time to sell and capitalize on that investment, or to hold on to it and let it continue to appreciate. The ag economy across the U.S. is pretty stable right now, and with fewer properties being offered to the market, it creates a unique supply-demand scenario that definitely favors the landowner, and that'll help maintain both the current and long-term value of farmland. There you got it. All right, let's see here. Another little interesting tidbit out of that I've come across was this gentleman has taken 137 acres of and made it into cluster corn. Three rows of corn planted in a 19-inch wide cluster with 9.5 inches separating the outer rows from the center, and then 41 inches between each trio. The configuration sounds outlandish to many farmers, but producer John Smith is growing 137 acres of cluster corn planted directly on his water source. Essentially, he's taking his corn to the well. The details are the difference in the setup, and the concept is solid, he says. I'm getting cranked by what I'm learning. So anyway, to kind of break this down a little bit, show's coming to a deal. So what he's done is he installed in 2017 a drip system with a 25-year minimum lifespan system on 137 acres, with lines 16 inches deep and on 60-inch centers. Along each strip, drip line, there's an emitter positioned every 2 foot. So with all this drip system done like he did, that's the reason why he's set these clusters up. He said the idea came from me observing the movement of water. In a drought, our water moves straight up. I know it's hard to fathom, he said, but our water moves up, not down, in the water column, and it will not move laterally in our sand. It either hits the surface and evaporates, or it contacts a root. His response, plant corn directly above the emitters. That's what he's doing. And he said he's getting some flack from some people, and he's getting an attaboy from some people. He said he planted triple rows on these deals. He was shooting for 30,000 plants, but he only got 27,000 plants of corn in there. He said it was a poor job of planting by me, but uniformly, the spacing was uniform, and he said it was really decent. He said, I wish I would have started better, but that's my fault. Planted above the drip line, every cluster has three rows, left, right, and center, 9.5 inches apart. So there you go. Interesting concept. He says, I don't think I'll be calling a patent attorney, but I'm trying. He said with a smirk and a grin. So we'll see. I'll keep you up to date on this, see how this is going. Pretty cool concept what he's doing with the drip system. You guys have a great day. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Tomorrow, we got Dr. Peel and cattle numbers the first half, and then we got Frog Geeking on the second half. Looking forward to it. Have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.